Dear Lord, we thank you for the blessing and the privilege it is to learn from your word today. We pray, as it says in the Bible, that you would give us wisdom, and we thank you that you will give wisdom to all who ask you. We pray that you would work in our hearts by your Holy Spirit so that we can understand and know who you are, and so that we can be drawn closer to you as we learn about you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're reading from Proverbs chapter 1, starting at verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your neck, and a chain to adorn your neck. Sorry, a garland to grace your head, and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us, and we will share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless it is to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and troubles overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm.
Well, it's great to be continuing our series on wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Today, as we pursue wisdom, we're listening to her compare and contrast expedience and prudence. Expedience is the use of or inclination towards methods that are advantageous rather than fair or just. Prudence is care and good sense that someone shows when making a decision or taking action. Can I say both have their place? They're a good marriage, a blend of expedience and prudence. Both prove beneficial. What proves them beneficial? Well, of course, it's the outcome or consequence, isn't it? At the moment, I think the vaccination is a good example of the marriage between expedience and prudence. I think it's safe to say the vaccination is an expedient measure. The advantages of the vaccination is what matters most at the moment. The thing that will determine whether or not vaccination is also prudent will be the long-term consequences. Time will tell if there has been enough care and good sense. In this life, I think we're often trying to happily marry expedience and prudence. Expedience is a bit more short-term. Prudence is a bit more long-term. Which do you tend to be? Can you see the merit in both? Well, as we pursue wisdom, is it a matter of expedience or prudence or both? Last week we saw, didn't we, that wisdom begins with the fear of God. We begin life young and simple. We begin ignorant. But life is really about becoming. And the foundation for becoming wise is the fear of God. Fear God, listen, become wise. But not everyone does that. Some don't fear God. They might become old, but they remain simple. They're fools because they don't listen. See, fools are not just ignorant, they are arrogant. They don't listen. And so today's passage begins with the great reminder to listen to the wisdom that comes from generation to generation. Have a look, verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. And then after the reminder to listen, Paul introduces two voices that we might be tempted to listen to. The first voice is the voice of sin. And you'll see that sin is enticingly expedient, but long-term disastrous. Second, there's the voice of wisdom's warning. Wisdom is everywhere. Some listen and repent. Some refuse to listen until it's too late. The wayward path of the fool is expedient and imprudent. It leads to death and destruction. The way of wisdom is expedient and prudent. It leads to safety and ease with no fear of harm. So the question that's before us today is, which path are you on? That's really the question this poses. What's the consequence of following the path that you are on? So come with me as together we pursue wisdom. Have your Bibles open, Proverbs chapter 1, and we begin with a warning against sin's snare. That's point one today, sin's snare. Straight away we can see that sin is enticing. Have a look, verse 10. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not go into them. That's the first voice. It's the voice of sin. It's an enticing voice. What's the enticement? Well, it's short-term expediency, isn't it? Keep reading, verse 11. If they say, come along with us, let's wait, lie in wait for innocent blood, let's ambush some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole, like those who go down to the pit, we will get all sorts of valuable things, fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us, we'll all share the loot. Ill-gotten, short-term, expedient gain. And it is enticing, isn't it? Come along with us. Be a part of the cool kids. Join the crowd. Everyone's doing it. Come along with us. What for? Well, all sorts of valuable things. Sharing the loot. Houses full of... It's enticing, isn't it? I like the sound of all sorts of valuable things. Gold. Pearls and diamonds, fantastic. And sharing the loot sounds good too, doesn't it? There's enough to go around. House full of plunder, you beauty. But God's wise king says, don't go along with them. Why not? Consequences. Let's keep reading, verse 15. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. Do you hear wisdom's warning? Ill-gotten, short-term gain seems expedient, but it's a well-set trap. Obvious traps are no good. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. Expedient, ill-gotten, short-term gain, that's not such an obvious trap. Come along with us. Branch stacking. Everyone's doing it. Come along with us. Fill up the coffers of my electorate. ICAC will never know. Come along with us. Let's do some shonky business deals under the table and we'll look after each other. Come along with us. After school, we'll go shoplifting. If there's enough of us, we never get caught, and we'll come back here and divvy up all the spoils. Come along with us. You can be part of our in-group at school. Just take money from the coin jar or mum's purse and bring it, and we'll share it, and we'll vape together. come along with us. We'll cheat on government forms or our school tests or at sport, and we'll bathe in the glory of our ill-gotten gains. Come along with us. Join the in crowd. Everyone's doing it. Just look at the loot. Come along with us. Don't do it. Don't go along with robbers and trappers and killers. They dangle loot as bait, and it's a well-set trap. And you are the prey. Don't be a fool and take the bait, will you? It's expedient. It's enticing. But ill-gotten short-term gain ends in death and destruction. That's the voice of sin's snare. And wisdom warns against it. That's our second point today. Wisdom warns. And here we see three things about wisdom's warning. First, the warning of wisdom is everywhere. So there is no excuse. Second, the warning of wisdom rebukes. And you either repent or you refuse to listen. And then third, wisdom warns now, so listen now, because one day it'll be too late. So first up then, the warning of wisdom is everywhere, and that's obvious in verses 20 and 21, isn't it? Follow along. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. Here, wisdom is pictured as a woman, and wherever you go, she can be found. She can be heard. In the open, in the public square, on top of the wall, at the city gate, she's everywhere, calling aloud, raising her voice, crying out, making her speech. The warning of wisdom is everywhere. So there is no excuse. No one has any excuse. The rebuke of wisdom is available everywhere for everyone, but simple fools don't listen. In verses 22 and 23, the simple love their simple ways. They delight in mocking. They hate knowledge. This is not innocent ignorance. This is not passive ignorance. This is active love of sin. Active mocking. Actively, arrogantly ignoring. Fools are not victims. Fools are arrogantly, actively responsible and culpable for their folly. Wisdom is everywhere, plainly rebuking, but the fool suppresses the truth by their wickedness. The fool is responsible for their response. They have no excuse. If they were wise, they would repent. That's the wise response to wisdom's rebuke. Repent. Have a look, verse 23. Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I'll make known to you my teachings. That's the wise response to wisdom's rebuke. Repent. Turn away from sin and mocking and ignoring, and turn to the voice of wisdom humbly, listening. The wise response to wisdom's rebuke is repent. But there's another response to wisdom too, isn't there? And that response is refuse. Let's keep reading, verse 24. Since you refuse to listen when I call and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Wisdom warns, but the fool refuses to listen. And refusing wisdom brings not only calamity and disaster, distress and trouble, it also brings laughing and mocking, doesn't it? That's a bit surprising when we read this passage, isn't it? Wisdom, laughing, mocking. But I think we can understand that God's or wisdom's laughter and mocking is totally right and appropriate. How else would you respond to puny, finite, ignorant creatures who refuse the infinitely great, all-knowing, infinitely wise, infinitely good creator of everything. Well, it's so tragic you might cry, but it's so absurd, so ridiculous, so stupid, it's laughable. Refuse God's greatness and knowledge and wisdom and goodness defiantly. Choose disaster, death and destruction. That's tragically, ridiculously, stupidly laughable. Mock wisdom now, and you'll prove to be a laughingstock forever. So listen, before it's too late. Because one day, friend, it'll be too late. Keep reading, verse 28. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. That's a devastating but deserving sentence, isn't it? God listens to people who don't listen to him, and he gives them what they want. Imagine the child who has a parent who gives them what they want. Oh, I just want ice cream. Okay. I want to drive the car. I want to play with fire. The wise parents, but you really think that's wise? And the child just doesn't listen. No, they want what they want. Expedient, short-term gain. I want. So the parent gives them what they want. Friends, that's a terrifying thought, isn't it? God's wisdom is everywhere present, and it speaks in rebuke, and if we don't listen, God will give us what we want. He gives us over to the sinful desires of our hearts because we exchange the truth about God for a lie, and we worship and serve created things, valuable things, plunder, loot. We worship and serve created things instead of worshipping and serving the Creator. We love our loot, and it kills us. They will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. Wisdom warns. Wisdom is everywhere present for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Do you see? Do you listen? Wisdom rebukes. Do you repent? Or do you refuse to listen? Now is the time to listen before it's too late. One day they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. Which path are you on? What is the destination, the consequence of the path that you are on? The fool's path is wayward and ends in death and destruction, but the wise walk in the way of safety and ease and no fear of harm. That's the third point and where we end things today. The wayward and the way. There's two ways to live. Have a look, verse 32. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. The wayward path is the path of the simple fool. It's the love of sin, mocking, arrogantly ignoring path. It's the path that refuses to fear the Lord and listen. It's the path that even in the here and now, more often than not, reaps trouble. Financial trouble. Physical trouble. Relational trouble. Legal trouble. Expedient, ill-gotten, short-term gain brings trouble here and now. And of course, the wayward path is the path that leads ultimately to death and destruction. The consequence is eternal trouble. And that's why it's so foolish. Short-term gain, long-term pain. Eternity is a long time to suffer pain. Outside of God's wisdom, it's one hell of a long time. That's option one. The broad path. Come along with us to death and destruction. Option two is a narrow path. It's the way of wisdom. It's the path when wisdom speaks her loving rebuke, we listen and we repent. She keeps us on track. It's the turn away from sin, humble, listening path. With the fear of the Lord, it's the path that even in the here and now, more often than not, reaps safety and ease with no fear of harm. Sure, we still experience trouble in this broken world, but we know it to be short-term pain. And listening to the voice of wisdom helps us not to be the cause of as much financial, physical, relational, and legal troubles as otherwise we might be. Listening to the voice of God helps us to get and enjoy good things in the here and now. It is expedient. It is good for the now. In the here and now, God's wisdom is a better path, but it's even better than merely that, isn't it? The wise way promises safety and ease with no fear of harm forever. And we know that because the words of God's wise king, King Solomon, help us to recognise God's truly wise king, King Jesus. Jesus is the word of wisdom that rebukes. It's in the words of King Jesus that we are warned. And Jesus says this to his disciples. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Friends, Jesus calls us to be wise, not just for expedient short-term gain. At the end of time, he offers the reward of his eternal kingdom. The wayward path stores up merely treasures on earth, but the wise way is to enjoy and hold loosely and lightly to the things of earth and actually give your life into the safe hands of Jesus. Notice that Jesus is a come along with me kind of guy as well. Come, says Jesus. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. Come along with me, says Jesus. But he's not like the others, is he? This is no trap. He's not a robber or a trapper or a killer. In fact, Jesus is the opposite. Jesus willingly gives up his life so you can live. If anything, Jesus has come along into our trap, not because he falls for the bait. No, he comes with us so that people would trap him and kill him. Jesus comes along with us. He walks in our shoes and dies in our trap to save robbers and trappers and killers like us. And then he rises again and proves forever that that trap has been sprung and we can escape. Jesus rises from the dead, having defeated the trap of sin, death, and the devil. He rises from the dead and promises life to everyone who's already got a taste for the poison and started to get entangled in sin's snare. Jesus is a come along with me kind of guy. He's a come and die with me kind of guy. But the consequence is real life. Life to the full. Now and forever. Come along with Jesus. He's God's risen King. In him is safety and ease with no fear of harm. Forever. Hallelujah. Friends, it is expedient that you follow Jesus. It matters now. So if you don't follow Jesus, I'd love the chance to tell you of the better story that Jesus offers you right now. But it's not just expedient. Following Jesus is prudent. We won't know by experience if we've lived prudently until we're dead, and then it's too late, right? But we can be confident. certain, assured of what the prudent life is. And we know that by listening to the voice of wisdom. We listen to the voice of Jesus, who has lived, has died, and is risen again. He knows by experience that there's an eternity that's so great you would not swap it for everything in the world. Pursue wisdom, friends. Listen to and follow King Jesus. It's expedient, a full life now. And it's prudent, because the best is yet to come. Let's pray. Loving, gracious Father, we do thank you for sharing your infinite wisdom with us. We thank you that you know the beginning from the end from the beginning. We thank you, Father, that we see your wisdom most clearly in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for revealing to us your wisdom. Please help us to be wise. When wisdom speaks, help us to repent. We thank you for rebuking us and keeping us on the narrow path. Father, if anybody here has not yet understood true wisdom, please give them your spirit so they might know and understand. And for the rest of us, Father, please help us to keep walking in the path of wisdom. Help us not to be merely expedient in this life. Help us to be prudent. Help us to live making good and right decisions and actions, not just in the light of merely earthly things, but in the light of eternity. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Dave.